service.
I'm at your service, dear Jesus.
I'm at your service.
Lord, wherever you want me to go, I'm gladly go. I want you to know I'm at your service, Lord.
At your service.
I'm at your service, dear Jesus.
I'm at your service.
Continue to listen to us here at Tongues of Fire. And I'm going to bring Dr. Kevin Kilday back. He has more information on us for us about what to eat.
Yes, thank you, Josh. As I said before the break, you know, it is very good to eat your three main meals a day. But it is also good to have some healthy snacks in between, especially if you are in a recovery and you're stopping the use of alcohol and drugs and cigarettes. And some of the you know just to give you like a composition of a recovery friendly diet, it should be 25% protein, 45% carbohydrate, which some people might have an issue with that, but don't worry about it. Fat and 30%, and to try about you know, depending on where your weight is at, if you want to lose weight, you know, anywhere between you know, like the 1,200 to 2,000 calories daily. Now the like for instance a meal suggestion, like for breakfast you can have like oatmeal muffins, preferably with no sugar. Like an omelet, that's high in protein with some eggs. Some yogurt. Yogurt will have the friendly bacteria in it, the same as like a probiotic, which is very good for your stomach.
So I had biscuits and gravy. That doesn't count.
Well, it just depends on where your diet is at, and how nutritious the biscuits were. If they were like whole grain biscuits, that's good. I mean, if they were made with white flour, that's not so good.
Oh, they were white flour, and they were lots of gravy.
It's so not so good.
I'm down one notch already today.
Right.
So let me say this right to everybody. Jesus, help me.
Two of the things, I'm just going to keep it real simple today. Okay. Two of the things that you should stay away from on any diet, may it be recovery or any kind of diet, is give up sugar and give up white flour. Just those two things, all right?
So why is it so important to give up those two things? Why sugar and white flour?
Well, white flour, I don't have the statistics or anything in front of me, but it's just really what it boils down to. It's just, no nutritional value in white flour. It's just bleached flour.
Well, and I think that's the key right there. It's bleached, okay? Wheat is not white.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Wheat is not white.
Good point.
Okay.
Good point.
And if you get, if you bleach it, if you make it not what it was originally, you have changed it.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
And what you're using to bleach this flour, this wheat with, is not natural. It's not good for you.
Right. It really does nothing for the human body. And sugar, as I said in some previous shows, real bad stuff. Maybe a third thing you should add to your list is to give up sodas if you're a soda drinker. I gave some statistics last week. I'll give them again. 12-ounce can of soda, 9 teaspoons of sugar. So do the math. If you're ordering a big gulp at whatever fast food place you go to, a big gulp is about 32 ounces of soda. So that means you're effectively swallowing about 27 teaspoons of sugar.
That is a lot of sugar. And right. I bet the average person doesn't realize how much sugar they're putting in their body when they get these sodas.
Right.
I know for myself that I have cut down drastically on the amount of soda that I drink. We rarely buy it in the house. White flour, when I go to the store, and I still eat bread now, but when I go to the store and buy a loaf of bread, I look at the ingredients, and I look to see if I'm seeing unbleached flour.
Whole wheat would be a good flour?
Whole wheat is a good flour.
Okay. Yes. Whole wheat bread, is that made from white flour, or is that made from whole wheat? I mean, so reading the ingredients on the things I'm purchasing is a good idea. Not because it's 10 cents cheaper than that one.
Right.
Or well, because it's BOGO, buy one, get one.
Okay.
I mean, this is the way the stores trick us into buying this stuff. Right. And then we get addicted to the unhealthy things, but we don't get addicted to the healthy things.
That has
to change.
Right.
That has to be flip-flopped to the other side. Because I know the Bible says what goes in might not taste too good, but what comes out is sweet.
Also a matter of like reading the labels too. A lot of the commercial breads out there, will have sugar in the ingredients. Other names for sugar, and there's a whole list, and I don't know them all. But corn syrup, dextrose.
Right.
I was reading some lists. Anything that ends with O's, O-S-E, is really a sugar-based product.
And Kevin, let us, touch on this again. You touched a little bit on the first half hour. What are the benefits of all what you're saying to us this morning in this regeneration road of us getting closer to our goal, which ultimately is to love Christ with all the heart, with all our soul, and with all our might, Deuteronomy 5:6 or 6:5, I think. So
Well, I mean, the goal of eating healthy and giving up, you know, whatever you're giving up, and or you know, if you want to give up excess weight, you know, the goal is to become more healthy. I mean, to feel really good all the time. You know, to sleep soundly each night. You know, to wake up and you know, embrace the day. You know, and embrace God and just you know, and you know, enjoy life. You know, abusing your body, however you might do it, is it's going to make you feel bad, and that's not enjoying life. That's not enjoying life at all. You really have to, you know, holistically, you know, feed the mind, you know, feed the body, and feed the spirit, and you will have, you know, a very happy life.
And you know, a lot of it is about getting back to being the person that God created us to be. And if we start to feel better physically, better about ourselves, sleep better, we have more energy, we just generally feel better, then we are, in that way, at least with our body, we are starting to get back to the person that God created us to be.
Right. The
And listen to this. I'm just going to read this real quick. Genesis 2, verses 8 and 9. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground, the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we know the rest of it, and he also tells us every seed-bearing food. So he gave Adam and Eve, you're talking creation, mm-hmm. He gave them trees. He gave them seeds. He gave them natural things that grew up out of the ground for their health until they bit of the tree.
Exactly.
That they weren't supposed to. Knowledge of good and evil, I think, right? That's that they right. weren't supposed to take a bite out of. And isn't that the same thing that if I know I'm not supposed to take a bite out of sugar, but my wife's shopping, the kids are over, their friends playing, I run to the cabinet, down about 4 or 5 teaspoons of sugar. I just ate from the tree that God has suggested that I not eat from.
Amen. So getting back to some of the specifics, you know, lunch, you may want to try a sandwich, a salad, a soup. Dinner, you might try, you know, some soups, rice and beans, chicken, vegetables, and dessert, which would be considered a snack. Again, you know, some yogurt, you know, with some fresh fruit in it. Or some, you know, if you may have some snacks, some sugar-free cookies, or I only recommend this from a health point of view, some dark chocolate, you know, which is one of my favorite snacks, but not a whole lot, just a piece here and there. All right, now, as I said, it's good to eat, six meals a day, 3 main meals and 3 snacks. Now, along with that, well, let's go over some of the snack suggestions, okay? Fresh fruit, as fresh as you can get. You know, apples, oranges, bananas to a degree. You just got to be careful with too many bananas. Has the natural sugar in it, and it might, you know, cause a little bit of blood sugar imbalance.
I've been juicing, Kevin, and so that's a good thing is what you're saying with the fruits. And another thing that I juice, I put a sweet potato usually in anything that I'm juicing. So is that a good suggestion?
You did what? I'm sorry.
I said juicing. I'm juicing with some apples, oranges, yes. pineapple, and yes. I put a sweet potato using in it also. And there are other things. You know, you can get a book on juicing.
Yeah, sweet potato
hey,
is
your
good.
Fair, I mean, your job fair today, your health fair, there's a guy there that would give you some pointers on the juicing. So people, you need to get out there.
Yes, yes. I'll mention that in 1 minute. So some of the other, you know, raw vegetables as far as snacks, you know, as raw as you can get, and you know, maybe with some salsa or something, or you know, some some low fat, no sugar type of dip. You know, some cheese and some natural crackers, some cottage cheese and some fruit. Again, yogurt, some raisins or some other dried fruits. You can usually get those. what do they call them, those packages? Prunes? No, you get the trail mix. Yeah, you just got to be careful of the if any additional ingredients.
What about the salt intake that's on them?
Well, if you're having problems with high blood pressure, you should just be careful of that.
Okay.
You know, and that's about it for snacks. Now, how we do this is now I'm going to bring in the supplements. You know, just to handle, you know, the real quickly. I just want to give you like one clinical study that shows some positive results to help with withdrawal symptoms. You know, there was a study about just vitamin C. Vitamin C, it helps. It helped tremendously with relieving withdrawal symptoms. Now they were talking about 10 grams. You know, so that's like 10,000 milligrams. Now, not to be taken all at once. You know, I would suggest you might want to take, if you're eating 5 or 6 times a day, maybe taking 2,000 milligrams per meal. You know, it would help you in the initial stages.
Good.
All right?
Good.
And just real quickly, some of the other things.
Well, don't forget, you got to mention your health fair and put all your other information out
there
before you go off.
Right. As I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, a good quality multivitamin because your body has been depleted. Usually a senior vitamin is good because it has higher B vitamins in it. That's the only difference between a regular and a senior. And add to that, like later on in the day, a good B50 complex. As I told you, the B vitamins are very good to help regenerate in the liver, which is probably damaged due to abuse. Magnesium, which is a mineral that I love, it will help you throughout the day, calming your nerves. It also help you very much sleeping, because insomnia seems to be a big complaint also with people coming down from alcohol and drugs.
All right, well, Kevin, how can the listeners out there get a hold of you if they want some more information on this study that you're doing?
Just call the store, 321-549-0711. And we're located at 500 North Harbor City Boulevard in Melbourne, which is US 1. We're a half a mile south of Sarno Road, or a quarter mile north of Babcock Street.
Okay.
And today we have a natural health fair going on, and I got some representatives there, all from the wellness industry. I got Melaleuca products having the natural cleaning products and natural health and beauty products, as well as some vitamin products. A licensed Florida chiropractor there, Dr. Deanna Carlisle, be giving out free spinal exams. Also, a licensed massage therapist will be there giving out, 5-minute chair massages, as well as a representative from Juice Plus. And I am heading there shortly. I will be giving some free nutrition tests and giving you, 10 to 15 minutes of free consultation to go over with some of your, any problems you may be having, some health conditions, and I'll make some suggestions for you. So that's about it. You know, come and see us. It's going on as I speak at 500 North Harbor City Boulevard. It's a natural health fair at the Holistic Health Center, 321-549-0711. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Kilday. That was great information. Listeners, I hope you've learned something out of that. We're getting ready now for our ATM time, which is Agape Training time. We're going to be talking about the solution. The solution being, of course, your fellowship. Galatians 3:6-9. There is none. 26-29. No Greek, no Jew, no slave, no free. We're all one in the body of Christ. And the fellowship, for as far as our solution is to go out, is there to support us when we're down, our heads are hung low, and we need support. Then we want to be able to go to the fellowship. And now the second power in our solution, the dunamis power, which is the dynamite, the explosive power, is either recovering through a spiritual experience or a spiritual awakening. And what we will be doing this morning is we will be looking at the life of Paul, which is a great life to follow, on how he did what he needed to do after being considered the chief sinner. And Pastor Josh, you're going to talk to us a little bit about this. You're going to read some scriptures, and the scripture will be Acts 9, 1 through 20. And I give you Pastor Josh.
All right. Thank you very much, Pastor Wayne. I'm going to be reading, as Pastor Wayne said, Acts 9, 1 through 21. Now, I'm going to be reading from a translation called God's Word to the Nation. It's very, very easy to understand, and it's a good one. It's a translation that I like to teach from. So here we go. Saul kept threatening to murder the Lord's disciples. He went to the chief priest and asked him to write letters of authorization to the synagogue leaders in the city of Damascus. Saul wanted to arrest any man or woman who followed the way of Christ and imprison them in Jerusalem. As Saul was coming near the city of Damascus, a light from heaven suddenly flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And Saul asked, "Who are you, sir?" And the person replied, "I'm Jesus, the one that you're persecuting. Get up. Go into the city, and you'll be told what you should do." Meanwhile, the men traveling with him were speechless. They heard the voice, but didn't see anyone. Saul was helped up from the ground, and when he opened his eyes, he was blind. So his companions led him into Damascus. For 3 days, he couldn't see and did not eat or drink. A disciple named Ananias lived in the city of Damascus. And the Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias." And Ananias answered, "Yes, Lord." The Lord told him, "Get up, go to Judas's house on Straight Street, and ask for a man named Saul from the city of Tarsus. He's praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias place his hands on him to restore his sight." Ananias replied, "Lord, I've heard a lot of people tell about the many evil things that this man has done to your people in Jerusalem. Saul has come here to Damascus with authority from the chief priests to put anyone who calls on your name in prison." Then the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. I've chosen this man to bring my name to nations, to kings, and to the people of Israel. I'll show him how much he has to suffer for the sake of my name."
Hallelujah.
Ananias left and entered Judas's house. After he placed his hands on Saul, Ananias said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on your way to Damascus, sent me to you. He wants you to see again and to be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like fish scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. Then Saul stood up and was baptized. After he had something to eat, his strength came back to him. Saul was with the disciples in the city of Damascus for several days. He immediately began to spread the word in their synagogues that Jesus was the Son of God.
Amen. Amen and amen. Remember, there in that story there, we have a spiritual experience and a spiritual awakening.
Yes, we do.
Spiritual experience, you know, it says when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. That's an experience. You know, Paul getting knocked down on the street to Damascus, and God bringing him, and later on, if you read the scripture, say, to the third heaven. What an experience that is. You know, I had an experience in my life, and I'm sure we all did out there. And it takes that experience, I believe, that word from God. For me, I heard the audible thing say, "It's now or never." And, you know, I'm not going to explain on the radio what was going on around that, but I was an old wretched man that I was.
Amen.
I was in a sinful way. I was chief sinner. You know, I was right there with Paul. But I heard the voice clearly, without a doubt. It was the voice of God, because immediately I turned around. I said to the companion that was with me, it's now or never. That was an experience. But, you know, Pastor Josh, that experience carried me for a bit. But, you know, it was the awakening. You get up in the morning, you stretch, you cough, your coffee, your bathroom, you do all these things to wake up. It was the awakening that gave me the depth and the weight that I could carry throughout these hard times that are gonna, that the enemy is going to come upon me in my battle to regeneration. Amen?
Oh, absolutely. 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 And keep this in mind, you know, it's just about this same story, about this story of Saul. Okay, later on in the scriptures, later on in Acts, we see where God changes his name to Paul.
Right.
Okay.
I'll give you one of the promises that he who overcomes, I will give him a new name.
That's right.
Written on a white stone.
Exactly.
That's a promise for us overcomers. Amen.
That's right. And beforehand, see, Saul was known as Saul of Tarsus. Saul was the one who went out and was, his whole life, he had been against those, okay, who were known as people of the way. They weren't called Christians at that time.
Right.
Okay, they were known as folks of the way.
Right.
And he was after these folks, okay, and he would go after them and put them in jail.
I think one of the only mighty men in the Bible back in that day that had a letter.
Yes.
Written to do this. And we're, you know, when we come back from the break and really touch on these, we're going to break this down. Now, I'll be coming. That was a great version, God's Word. I have that alongside of what I got. But mm-hmm. we're going to be coming from a new King James Version. In case all of you out there don't have God's Word or whatever you have, we're going to be breaking these down in verses for the different steps that Saul went to become Paul.
That's
and
right.
The different steps that he took. And when did he preach? When didn't he preach? Did he have to do anything else outside of just saying, okay, I'm putting my old way of life down? We're going to call that the sinful nature. And we're going to be covering this in detail. And listeners, I don't want you to go away. I want you to settle down, put down what you're doing, sit down on your couch and wait till we bring this to you, because it's a revelation. It was a revelation to me. I know it's a revelation to those that are out there. When we had the Agape Road to Damascus Ministries, Brother Josh,
mm-hmm.
down there on Adams Street, this was so valuable to them because they could see, hey, this is God's way.
That's
and
right.
God's way is still what we do in the world today. There are just one major point at the beginning that the world doesn't put into it. And so, therefore, it probably drops an 85% rate down to about a 7% rate.
Mm-hmm.
That's a gigantic move there.
Oh,
so
absolutely.
we're gonna let you know what that move is that they don't do today and the move that we know that we want to do today. And we're going to do that. We'll take a break here in a couple of minutes. And, Josh, you want to add a few other things? And when we come back, we're going to break verses Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 20 down for you.
And we also want to let you know how this affects your life. Okay, Saul becoming Paul is a microcosm of us all as we go from our old life, okay, that we had in the world to a new life with Christ.
Taxi.
Okay, that's right. How I went from taxi to Joshua.
Amen.
Okay, leaving the old life behind.
How I went from hog man to Wayne. Amen. You know?
You're listening
to
Brevard County.
Once we take the break, we want you to continue listening, and we'll see you in 2 minutes.
You're listening to Brevard County's very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music. 91.5 FM, WMIE.
At the world, does it make you sad? How the people on earth have become so bad. Man's inhumanity to man is at an all-time high. When you look long, does it make you cry?
When you look at the church, does it hurt you too? How the people of God are representing you? The dominant forces are powerless and pride, while love and compassion are so hard to find. Father, for the way we treated you.
Come, Holy Spirit, bring us to our knees.
Forgive us, Father, forgive us, please. At the church, does it hurt you too? How the people of God are representing you? The dominant forces are powerless and pride, while love and compassion are so hard to find. Father, for the way we treated you.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Come, Holy Spirit. Yeah.
Bring us to our knees.
Yeah. Forgive us, Father. Forgive us, Father. Forgive us, please. Father. Forgive us, please.
And welcome
forgive
back
us, please.
To Fire. And we're going to be talking, we're going to continue about the Agape Training Manual, Agape Training Ministry. And I'm going to turn things over right now over to Pastor Wayne, who we're going to come expound on a few scriptures here, starting in the book of Acts.
Okay, what we want to talk about now this morning is our regeneration process. The world has a certain way to do things. It's funny that they don't like to commit to the glory of God, usually in the world standards. But yet they take their recovery process from the Word of God, whether they realize it or not, because God's the author of all. You know, and again, we're going to come from Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 20. And what we're going to do is we're going to break it down. And the first step of breaking it down is we must admit. Admit, remember, underneath the problem was to let in. We need to let in a certain amount of information about our sinful nature. So Acts chapter 9, verses 1 and 2 are going to pertain to our sinful nature. I'm going to read them from the New King James versions. Pastor Josh is going to come out of God's Word. The New King James says, then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. That's the sinful nature. We must admit, first thing in our travel to regeneration, that we are unworthy and we need the worthiness of God. That we are in a sinful nature and we need to go to the godly nature. That's the first thing that Paul did here, Pastor Josh. And tell us how God's Word puts that.
God's Word says that Saul kept threatening to murder the Lord's disciples. He went to the chief priest and asked him to write letters of authorization to the synagogue leaders in the city of Damascus, because Saul wanted to arrest any man or woman who followed the way of Christ and imprison them in Jerusalem. So Saul was doing, what was Saul was doing here? Saul was following the way that he had always followed. He had learned from the world and the worldly teachings that it was not right to follow Christ. It was not right to follow that way. And he felt very much in the right in doing what he was doing. He was, his family was of the priesthood of in Jerusalem. He had been taught by the great rabbis. He was an expert in Jewish law.
Right. And, you know, he asked letters from him to the synagogue of Damascus. You know, he was so much in this sinful way, he had a ticket to be sinful.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Of course, back then they didn't think it was, but he had a ticket to be sinful. And ladies and gentlemen, have you ever been there in your sinful nature? Have you been to the point that you believe you have a right to be who you are? Well, if that's the case and that's sinful and God's about to meet you, you need to listen, and we need to listen. In verses 3 through 7, Saul, still Saul, not Paul yet, hears a voice. But the voice that he's going to hear is from up above. Let's listen to verses 3 through 7. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly, that's an experience, a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? See, everybody deep down inside has a fundamental idea of our Lord. Because here he is, a man that has a ticket to sin, but he says, who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. Now listen, he says, I am Jesus, who you are persecuting. Saul was out there persecuting the people. Well, the people are Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
So he trembled and astonished and said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. See, the second thing after you admit your sinful nature, you got to listen for the direction, the voice. The voice that I heard, as I mentioned earlier, was, it's now or never. I absolutely understood where that voice came from, and I absolutely understood what it meant. If I didn't act on it then, I don't even want to think of that. Who knows?
Who knows?
But I acted on it. And I was in Fort Lauderdale, and to get back here to Marin Island, that gave me a long time to think about what God wanted me to do.
Amen. Amen. And that voice. Now, in this case, Saul heard a loud voice, okay, a voice that he heard loud through his ears. A lot of times, and this was the voice of God. What voice do we hear many times? Many times, and I know for myself, when I was on my way to buy some drugs, to do this, to do that, to do something I knew I had no business doing, I would hear a small voice in my head.
Amen.
That small voice that just said, Josh, don't do that. Go here. Go there. Don't tell that lie.
But it wasn't loud
go
enough,
home.
So you'd go anyway. Amen.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
You know, some is for some people it's loud.
Right.
Okay. For others, it could be that soft voice.
That's right.
Okay? A lot of times, God will speak to us in a soft voice. He doesn't force us to do things.
Right.
Okay? But he will tell us, hey, don't do that.
Yeah, I think
don't
it's 2 Kings that says that small, still voice.
Small, still
all right, so
voice.
So let's look at what happens next. Now, see, this is the road that we want to travel. First of all, we want to admit that we're in a sinful nature. Second thing is we want to hear the voice, know that we're in tune with the Lord. And the third thing is now it's time for detox. This is where the world comes in. And that's verses 8 and 9. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and he neither ate nor drank. Now, he was 3 days without sight. Our detox period today in the world value system is, first of all, it's usually 3 days. If there are mental issues, it's 5 days. But it's 3 days. But here, it's 3 days of not eating and not drinking. It is just God's talking to me. I'm blind. I can't see. I just admitted something. I'm on my road. That's the way we recover, Pastor Josh.
That's right.
Is we can't eat. We can't drink. We got to go 3 days. days. And we got to do that right after we hear the voice. And we used to do that at Agape Road to Damascus Ministries. And remember the hassle we used to get from the church?
Oh, yeah.
Because we were being biblical? Or you can't put these guys into mandatory fasting. It wasn't mandatory fasting. It was the word of God, because we knew what God's word had told us through regeneration.
Exactly, exactly. You know, the world continues to try to keep us from doing things that are godly, that the word says for us to do. And just being in the world, it can be very, very hard to get away from things that we have been doing. One thing about here, reading here, is that for 3 days, he couldn't see, he didn't eat, he did not drink. Amen. In other words, for those 3 days, for that period of time, he was away from all of the worldly stuff. He got away.
Amen. Amen. I think that might have been the time that God brought him up to the third heaven. So let's go again. First of all, we admit our sinful nature, verses 1 and 2. We listen for the voice, verses 3 through 7. It's time for detox, a three-day journey, verses 8 and 9. And then the next thing we're going to see is some intervention. You know, I was watching that show, Intervention, the other night, and they started with intervention. Well, intervention works sometimes that way, but it doesn't work until you go through the process that God has here. And interventions, verses 10 through 16, for it, and it says, "Now then there was a certain disciple of Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, Arise and go to the street called Straight." Now, I'm not going to read the rest of the verses, but I'm going to tell you that it seems kind of fun to me that the Lord brought him the straight street, the crooked man. See, the purpose is to get straight.
That's right.
Now, this Bible says straight street. He brought the crooked man to straight street. Ananias, this is where we fall down on our faces in the world value system. The world value system, if you go to detox at Circles of Care today, Ananias cannot come and lay hands on you. See, we're missing that part. And therefore, I believe the recovery goes from 85% down to 7%. For the simple reason is we're not allowing God to do. Now, you notice Jesus didn't go to detox to visit him. Jesus already spoke to him and said, get the detox. And then he sent Ananias. He sent a man. Or if it's a woman, he sends a woman in to lay hands on you to let you know that you are loved and that things will get better.
That's right. Jesus sent a representative. Okay, basically, Ananias was standing a stand-in for Jesus. He sent a representative to do what? To lay hands upon him, to get those, to open his eyes so that he can see. The scales fell away. All of a sudden, he could see again, and something had changed. But unless we have that Ananias coming in, we need that representative from the Lord to come into us when we are first starting this regeneration journey.
Right. And let's hear what happened. I'm going to read verses 16 and 17. And let's hear what happens in the word if we follow what God says. "For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake." That's why you don't see, you don't eat, you don't drink. Because you're going through a time of what you're going to suffer for his name's sake. And Ananias went his way. This is what I call obedience. Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, because that's what God told him to do, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And then these are results coming up. "Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized. So when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus." So we have sinful nature. We have hearing the voice. Let's go to detox for a three-day period. Let's wait for the Ananias and intervention. Then it's obedience. We get the results. We receive our sight. We receive the Holy Spirit. We're baptized into the body. A baptism is a fivefold ministry of the church.
That's right.
We talked about that when we talked about the church. I don't want to wait to set up a baptism. I can remember we used to baptize them with the mop bucket.
That's
we
right.
didn't have a pool that was working.
I remember
we'd
that
fill
very
the
well.
Mop bucket full of water and dump it over their head.
That's right.
And say, "You're washed." Anything that will give them a moment to know, I've made a decision to be with the Lord Jesus. And those are results. And, You know, he comes out of that in verse 20 immediately. And this is what we'll talk about and expound on for our final 10 minutes here, brother, is immediately he preached to Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Immediately he preached. You're good enough right now to start preaching, brother. Now, listen, he didn't say he preached Genesis. He didn't say he preached Revelation.
Nope.
He said he preached what? That he is the Son of God. He preached his conversion. He preached his testimony when God came into his life. My mistake was I got with Jesus. I thought I knew everything. I started preaching everything. Well, I didn't. I had to learn.
That's right.
So we got to stick at this point. We're going to find out when we come back next week on the treatment end. If Paul had to go 3 years worth of treatment, when he got done with treatment, he did a different kind of preaching. But right here at my conversion, at my detox time, my moment with God, out of my 3 day, I get up, I eat, I know I got the Spirit, I get baptized, and then I preach to people, hey, I was walking in sin. I am no longer walking in sin because God touched me. He even sent me a man that would sit with me and put his hands on me and become my friend. And then out of that, we got up and we were obedient to the Holy Spirit. We got baptized at once, and then I began to preach that.
That's right.
And that kept Paul going.
And it's very important to understand, what did he preach? It's not that, once again, just like Pastor Wayne said, he preached that Jesus is the Son of God.
Amen.
He preached the very basics.
That's right.
Okay? He started right away saying the basics. Okay? If we are in regeneration, at this point, we are saying, hey, I have stopped doing this. I am not going to be overeating. I'm not going to drink or drug today.
Amen.
I'm not going to overeat today.
Hallelujah.
I'm not going to gamble today.
Thank you, Jesus.
It's the very beginnings. It's not I'll never do it again.
That's right.
That
one day at a time.
It's one day at a time.
One moment at a time, sometimes.
That's right.
Amen.
That comes much, much later. But at the beginning, we have to reckon ourselves to be in a different place
Amen.
Than we were at the beginning. And this is the beginning of that reckoning.
Right. And it's fine that, you know, I think we look at the picture of Paul being blinded when he woke up, he couldn't see. I mean, I think that's also an acceptance thing on my half that, hey, everything that I thought was true just probably isn't true. So I'm going to have to lay that off to the side. And you know, I want to thank all you out there that are Ananiases. You know, if you're not, then I'm going to pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, call on the Ananiases of the church, Father. Father, send them to those that are in this three-day detox period, this three-day period of no eating, no drinking, and being blind. Send the Ananiases, Father. Allow the hands to be big, soft upon those who are seeking the face of your glory, Father. Father, this is so important to the world. Father, make me an Ananias, Father. Let me continue in that path. And we just want to thank you for that in your glory. And I want to just expound the last couple of minutes on those results. Though at once, immediately, there fell something like scales. That's the old life. That's the past. Fell off me, and I received a new vision, a sight at once, a brand new vision. I arose, and I was baptized to let people know that I got a new vision.
Exactly.
And so when I received food, oh, to me, I hope that was a T-bone. Because I ain't ate for 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hungry now.
There you go.
But he received food, and he was strengthened. Then, circle that word if you're in your word. It's a ring-around word. Then, Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. He didn't run away. He stuck into where God and where God had him.
That's right. And see, it's a three-part deal here, okay? When Jesus sent Ananias over to Paul, he said he's sending them there because I want you to see again and to become filled with the Holy Spirit.
That great gift of Pentecost.
That's
Amen.
Right. Now, so Saul, for the first time, despite all he had learned, despite the fact that he was taught by the great teachers of that time of the Jewish community, okay, for the first time, Saul becomes filled with the Holy Spirit. So what's Jesus take care of first? He takes care of the Spirit.
Right, and see, he wasn't knocked into this new existence of life. He had to go through a spiritual awakening, which is where we get our change from, but it's over a period of time. People, a lot of times, God speaks to us, we feel the anointing of the Holy Spirit on us, and we think that's it. No, no, there's an awakening to go through. There's a process to go through. Now, listen, the important thing is to begin to preach the conversion moment. The conversion moment, not the revelation moment. The conversion moment of the revelation. We got to begin there, but it's an awakening. It's a process. It's over a period of time. And before you know it, you look behind you and go, man, I used to be there and now I'm here. And, you know, for Paul, we're going to see next week, that took 3 years. He was sent out to the desert to learn the gospel for 3 years. And then he come back and got into service. That's where we'll go next week. But now exactly. That Holy Spirit. Yeah.
That's right. He got the Holy Spirit. From after he was given the Holy Spirit, he was baptized. So you got the Holy Spirit for the Spirit. He was baptized to show the changing of the mind, that the mind is now going to be different, because that's what the baptism symbolizes, a changing of the mind, a changing of the way we're going to do things. So you had the Holy Spirit, we had the baptism, then he was what? He was given something to eat to regain his bodily strength.
Amen.
Once again, spirit, mind, and body.
Amen. And you know, it's funny because it's like Alcoholics Anonymous, you pick up a chip. You pick up a white chip. Hey, everybody, I want your way of life. And that's what Paul did here. You know, he picked up that chip called baptism. You know, you go to Yelks, you go to Eagles, you go to any of these other clubs, they give you a little fancy hat. They give you something. You got to stand up and get that inauguration thing, they call it, I think. You know, well, that's what the baptism is. The baptism is to show. It's a command commanded by Jesus to show people. It has other reasons, but to show people, hey, I want to belong to what's happening over here. Of course, that's what's happening? Jesus.
Jesus.
And he's with you. You know, we're getting ready to close out here in a minute or so, in 2 minutes, Josh. You know, it's a good radio show. Our listeners out there, we want you to continue keeping us in prayer. Next week, we're going to have a format that we're going to be able to open up these lines for you people in the last half hour to call in, try to answer some questions. My name is Pastor Wayne, and we're here on the Merritt Island end, able to help you in recovery. Again, I attend the River of Life Church on Merritt Island, but my phone number is 321-458-8115. Again, my phone number, 321-458-8115. And anybody that needs any questions, anybody wants some help, if you have somebody that you need intervention in their life, call us. There is lots of experience, but more importantly, there's power of the Holy Ghost here, and we're here to help you. And Josh, tell us about your end down there in Palm Bay. We're covering North, Middle, and South Brevard County, so that's an excellent thing.
Exactly. And I am in down in the Melbourne, Palm Bay area. My phone number is 321-202-9765.
Say that again slower.
321-202-9765.
Excellent.
Anyone who wants to speak with me is more than welcome to call. We want to thank you for listening today, for Pastor Wayne, for Kevin, Dr. Kilday, and
Pastor Josh.
My name is Pastor Josh. We just hope you continue listening. We will see you next week, and keep listening to this station, WMIE. FM in beautiful downtown.
What's up?
Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Singing, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. For the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me. He who died heaven's gates to open wide. He will wash away my sins. Let his little child come. And keep on singing your yes. Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Children, Jesus loves me. He will stay close beside me all the way. If I love him when I die, he will take me home on high. Keep on singing your yes. Jesus loves me. No, he loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes. Thank you.